Hello, welcome to another episode of Sermon Review. I am Pastor Witt here with Pastor Victor.
Hello.
And Michael Diaz.
Hey, guys.
Michael, you might have to get closer to the mic. You wanna...
Hey, guys.
There's that voice. There you go. Pastor Dave is not here. He's in sunny California currently, preaching at a conference, seeing family, et cetera, et cetera. So I have a couple of guests here with us. We're going to be going through Romans 9, the most easily understood and least controversial scriptures possible. Isn't that right, guys?
Sure.
So actually this week I was in Victor's office and we were talking about Romans 9. And we talked about it's not hard to structure the text, was it?
No, it's clear what's right in there. It's just hard to communicate it in a way that is received well by the congregation.
Right, so we mean structure, right? So this is kind of some things that the Spanish side does this every week, right? Y'all meet Tuesdays, or what day is it y'all meet and go through the text together?
We try to do it on Tuesdays.
To do it on Tuesdays, right?
Not every week it happens.
And what are y'all doing on Tuesdays as you go through the text?
Well, the first thing is the one preaching mostly. I'm the one preaching on Sundays, so mm-hmm. I try to bring the structure and identify the emphasis, the main argument of the author, try to connect it to the gospel and present the potential argument that I will be presenting to my congregation.
Right.
So that's the goal that we have for Tuesday, Wednesday, just to have that conversation, making sure that we're going in the same direction that the author of whatever book of the Bible we're teaching.
And so where did y'all come up with this method of how to study the text, break down the text the way that you do on Tuesdays?
I mean, we're brilliant. We just came out with this.
We are brilliant. We invented this.
Not at all. This is just the tools from Semen Trust. This is a preaching organization. They help pastors to teach and give a few tools just to navigate the text and make sure that we are faithful preaching the Bible.
Michael, there's a Semen Trust workshop coming here, correct?
Yes, we're going to be able to have a preaching workshop through Semen Trust. It's going to be the first weekend of May, so the weekend right after the Weekender, the Nine Marks Weekender. And we are so excited to be able to share that with other pastors. These are some tools that we were introduced by, or not even introduced by, but... we started doing it weekly whenever Josue Lara was here, and he kind of helped us to just be more faithful to that and also to just try to stick to the word and to try to understand it better and to just focus on also helping the congregation read their Bibles better.
I think it's pretty incredible, right? We bring Josue here as a resident. And, you know, this is how God's kingdom works. Josue ends up leaving something behind for us that we're continuing to use. And now we're hosting a workshop for other preachers based on these tools that are through this organization called Semen Trust. So I think it's kind of remarkable. Michael, is there any way we can be praying in particular for the Semen Trust workshop?
Yeah, we have already closed the registration because there are already 32 pastors and leaders registered for it, and that was our limit. So just be praying that this workshop will be of an encouragement because it can be a little bit overwhelming for people that are doing it for the first time. So
strenuous.
Yes. So just be praying for them to be encouraged and for the group leaders, the small group leaders, that they may encourage them and not bring them down whenever they're not using properly the tools, and that we may be able to encourage them and to just communicate the love that we have for God's word and for us to manage it well.
And so we get this, you know, Josue kind of introduced this to us, this, you know, workshop, these tools. You just visited Josue in Monterrey, Mexico. You want to maybe describe what the trip was like quickly?
Yeah, I was there mainly to spend some time with him and his family. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful time. Once I got there, the kids had written me letters. They had drawings of me there. They wrote that they loved me, that they were praying for me. So it was a very, very sweet time that the kids really needed. And also, I was able to spend time with the church. This is a church that we are planting, and we're helping plant there in Monterrey. And so just being able to spend time with the family, and then on Sunday morning, just to sing with them, to hear the church, the congregation sing so loudly, it was a blessing. I couldn't even sing the first song. I was just crying, remembering how our time here was of a blessing there, and then just being reminded of how God is going to be faithful, and He will continue to sustain His church. And it was just a tremendous blessing, and it was great because they were celebrating their first anniversary this past Sunday. So it was huge to be there with them and to see their faces, their expressions, how thankful they were, how happy they were to be able to celebrate that, and just to share the word with them was a great blessing.
And say the name of the church.
It's Iglesia Bautista Piedra Angular, Baptist Church, Cornerstone Baptist Church.
And how could we be praying for them?
They had a meeting this week with the people that are sharing with them this place that they are renting. And they are saying that they're going to push the rent to be higher. But what they are thinking is that they might want them to leave and not to be there anymore. So that's going to be a struggle for them now because it was a good price. And so things are getting expensive there. And so just be praying for that. And also for supporters for Josue and the church.
Because you're helping lead a trip with some pastors coming up soon, right? In a few months?
No, that's going to be Victor in September.
Victor. Yes.
We are.
Yes. So Pastor Dave and you are going to lead other pastors to Monterey to show them the church plant, correct?
Yes, that's the plan. Okay. We are trying to get some other pastors and churches together just to do a dual purpose for that time.
Okay.
To offer some kind of teaching resources, conference while we go there, and also connect churches to Piedra Angular.
Yeah. So if you're listening in, right, this is, how we're thinking as a church. We're always thinking not just within our walls, how are we doing, but we need to constantly have an eye and an ear of what's going beyond our walls, especially a resident who's come. We're going to plant a church, with Josue, and it's usually very rare that one church can be able to fully support one church plant, and this is kind of what we're doing with Pillar, with within the SBC, trying to help get other churches to come alongside to. So for you, right, just if you're listening, you can be praying for them, consider how you might give to them, right? And then also just really, I think I already said, just keep praying. You know, pray for Josue, pray for the church plant. They're still young, and just pray for some financial support there as well. They continue to get this church off the ground, and they're doing great work. They're doing great work there. Josue's a very
The church is
brother.
Doing great. Josue is doing great there, of course, with regular challenge that every church plant has. At the same time, not only the work that they're doing in the church, but also the work that Josue is doing influencing other pastors in Mexico.
Right,
right now, he has access to different avenues that he is able to share these tools and help pastors strengthen their preaching. So by Josue influencing these pastors, these pastors are going to be able to get more tools to, preach the word of God, and their churches will be strengthened as well. So this is
which is just remarkable because, once again, for me growing up, it was always kind of like, how are we doing? How's our church doing? Building our church up. But coming to Park, hearing what Josue is doing in Monterey, it's like, no, we care about the kingdom. We don't care just... If one, there's so many people, it's only one church can do so much. So why not try to build, when the tide rises, all boats, go up. So, that's kind of what we're hoping for here is that by blessing Josue, we're not just blessing that church, we're also blessing the city and all the influence that church can have there. So, that was our break before we dive into Romans 9. Once again, if you have questions, we didn't get any questions this week for this very controversial text. If you're listening and you do have questions about Romans 9, always feel free to send them in, and we'll maybe go back later and hit some of them. But Pastor Victor, what's Romans 9 about?
When you see Romans 9, it seems that it's out of place after we finish Romans 8. We were in the top of the mountain, rejoicing that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And now Paul gives a turn to talk about Israel and to talk about the sovereign election of God in salvation. So it's interesting because probably in that time, Romans 8 and everything 1-8 generated some questions on what about Israel? So has the word of God failed? And I think this is a very interesting way of Paul saying, no, I'm going to prove by scriptures that the word of God hasn't failed and will not fail. And it's not failing. So basically he goes to the patriarchs at the beginning. He goes to Abraham. He goes to Isaac. He goes to Jacob. Then he goes to the Exodus, presenting Moses, the Pharaoh. And then he goes to the prophets with Oseas. Oseas in Spanish. and Isaiah, just to make the proof that, make the point, no, God's word has not failed. This is the purpose of election showing up. And this has been the plan since the beginning.
This is not a new subject for Paul. This is like, let's go to Genesis. Let's go to Exodus. Let's go to the prophets. It's all over the scripture. It's been telling us. This is, you know, it's always a challenge for us when we hear Paul saying, if I'm going to defend my argument, I can just go to the Old Testament. For us, we're like, straight to the New Testament, which is, you know, we're quoting Paul here. This is Paul. But Paul didn't go to Paul. Paul went to, to God's word in the Old Testament.
He's not going to a random text just to validate what he's trying to say. He's going to the entire narrative of the Old Testament.
The whole Bible.
Just to make sure this has been God's plan since the beginning.
So it's not, like you said, it's not often you'll get in a, you know, maybe talking to a Mormon or a Jehovah Witness or someone of the cults or just in general about scripture, and they'll take you to some verse that you never heard of and like take five words out of that verse and say, see, this is how my whole entire point stands on this. This is not what Paul's doing. Paul's like, the whole Old Testament has been telling us God's word has not failed. He's always chosen who would come to him.
Amen. And something interesting is the way that Paul is talking about this. So I think the first three verses is key to understand the tone.
Here, let me read those verses. So he says, what shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. So we talked about this, right? It seems to be pretty straightforward. Why do people? Why do you think a lot of people have a hard time with this section of scripture?
I mean, generally speaking, we create a version of who God is based on the teachings that we're getting, based on experiences, based on many things. And most of it is connected to scriptures, but it's not telling the entire picture of who God is. God is sovereign. Like God is the creator of the universe. God decides everything. So in having a big sense of who God is, automatically you will have a sense of how little and small you are. And I think that having that switch up and having that mixed up on trying to put God in a level that we can understand it, in a level that we can relate. Yes, in a way God did that. He sent his son and he lived like us in a human body. But at the same time, when we're referring to God, we cannot forget that he is God.
Not like us.
Not like us, exactly. Yeah. So I think this goes against that same thing that happened in Genesis 3.
Hmm.
Like that desire that all human beings have to be like God. And,
right.
and everything that goes against that is hard to swallow. It's hard to accept it.
All right, so here, let's get to the tougher part of this, right? He says, verse 17, "For the scripture says to Pharaoh, 'For this very purpose I raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth.' So then he has mercy on whomever he wills, and he hardens whomever he wills." So is Paul saying he predestines people to hell? God does.
Well, literally the words predestined to hell is not there.
Yes.
So I want to be very careful what is saying here. What verse were you in?
That's verse 17-18.
Okay. So, and he hardens whomever he wills.
Right.
So that's what it's saying here. Yes, God is sovereign mm-hmm. over the mercy that he's going to be given out,
right.
but he's also sovereign over
yep.
the judgment that he's yeah. going to be sending.
That's good.
So I think the main point here is not to enter in a debate on is God predestined
right.
People to condemnation. I think the main thing here is we all sinned and we were all separated from the glory of God.
Right.
And God had mercy on some people that he elected.
Mm.
So I think the highlight here is God having mercy and the question, the real question should be why God decided to have mercy
right.
on some people. Mm. When we were rebellious, when we were enemies of God, when we were against God, God decided to have mercy.
Right.
So, and I think that's the highlight. This is, in a way, the questioning from this imaginary person
yeah.
That is there saying, is God not just?
Mm.
And the other question, like, why God keeps, why does he still find fault?
Right, verse 19.
Like, these questions, in both ends, in both times, Paul is trying to, okay, you're trying to focus on trying to put God in a level that you can understand it, but I don't want to go there. I want to go to the mercy side.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to help you understand God is sovereign mm-hmm. above everything, including
yeah.
judgment
right.
and including having mercy to whom he wants to have
mm-hmm.
mercy. Something really interesting here is when you see the example of Pharaoh, who hardened the heart of Pharaoh?
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, it's clear that it was God.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also clear that his heart was already hardened.
Yeah, this is Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Yeah,
exactly. It's both. What do you see in scriptures is both.
Yeah.
So it's a way of presenting God is...
Yeah.
given judgment
mm-hmm.
to those that has already their heart hardened.
Right. I think Pastor Dave mentioned when he preached Sunday this idea of a double predestination,
mm-hmm.
right? He talked about the idea of the view that we would hold to based on the scriptures is not a positive, and the way that he shows mercy is not the same way that he condemns in the sense of, right, salvation is they're already condemned. He has to save them,
mm-hmm.
right? So John 3:17, he's not having to condemn them in the sense of, right, make them sin. They've already chosen to sin. They've already chosen to rebel. They're already under God's wrath. He just lets them continue. So for Pharaoh, right, you see that very example, right? He's hardening his own heart. He's hardening his own heart. So what does God hardening someone's heart who's already hardened it look like? It seems to be more of passive, just... letting them continue to walk away, letting them continue to walk towards the cliff,
mm-hmm.
while he's predestined that in the sense of he could stop them by showing them grace,
mm-hmm.
but they're by no means owed grace. That's the whole point. It's grace is grace because it's grace,
mm-hmm.
and he gives Pharaoh justice. And he's hardening his heart in the sense of not giving him grace. It seems to be the idea of a positive, negative, right, or a active, passive view. So he's sovereign over it all. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But how he's acting it isn't the same way. He's allowing some things and he's doing some other things.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because I think Paul highlights the purpose of this.
Yes.
And in verse 23 and 24, he says, in order to make known the riches of his glory for vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory.
Yeah.
So what Paul clearly present here as something that God prepared beforehand is those vessels of mercy.
Mm.
Why? Because he wants to show his glory.
Yeah.
Like we were all sinners. We were all separated from God, and he is showing his glory. How? By showing mercy.
Yeah.
Then he says, even us, whom he has called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. So I think he's making the point here, God's word has not failed.
Right.
Because he is saving people from not only the Jews, but also Gentiles.
Right.
I mean, in this part, we should stop and start screaming and rejoicing.
Yeah.
Because God has decided to save us. God has decided to include us in his plan of redemption. He has decided to give us mercy instead of judgment.
So we're not, it's not human will or exertion, right? Which we're kind of like, okay, man, I'm thankful that I just had the right mind and the right heart and I could, you know, I could realize the true things. He's like, no, no, no. We're all sinners.
Mm-hmm.
We all deserve condemnation. Why did he show me mercy? Why? And that's where, yeah, we're going to get this in, I think, 11, where he kind of just, Paul kind of throws his hands up in the air and is like, let's just praise God. Yeah.
And I think this is a good way to see it. Mm-hmm. I mean, this section includes chapter 9, 10, and 11.
Right.
And just the way that Paul finished the section in chapter 11, it tells us the intention that Paul has in mind and the direction that we need to take.
Yes.
We need to take that direction on of approaching this text and approaching this topic in a way of worshiping God.
Yes.
We need to, he is worthy of all praise.
Amen.
There is no way that we can get into his level and understand the magnitude of his wisdom. And he is showing his wisdom in the way that he is saving us.
That's good.
So
maybe help us out, right? Just let's kind of close. What's one way we can take this text, right? Hearing it preached Sunday, looking at it right now, that we can, it changes our life this week. How can we apply this text to our life? Because it seems, right? Because direct application is a little bit challenging here because it's talking about what God's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, how do I apply this to my life? Because this is what God's doing. Is there a way that we can, our life be changed by this text?
Yes, definitely. I think the immediate application that we need to consider is the invitation from God to get to know him.
Yeah.
I think this is what he's doing here in verse 23 and 24. He's, in order to make known.
Mm. That's good.
Like, to get to know God for who he really is.
Right.
I think the more clear that we are in who God is and the more clear on understanding how sinner we are, we're going to be even more clear the distance that there is between us and God.
That's good.
When we understand the distance between us and God, now we value in a deeper way the cross.
Yeah.
What needed to happen in order for us to be brought part of the family of God. Not only that, understanding the distance between us and God, but understanding the distance that God has to come here to save us.
Yeah.
So I think this is a calling and a encouragement to all of us to keep getting to know God through scriptures.
Yeah.
Keep getting to know his attributes. Keep getting to know the way that he loved us by showing us mercy in his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Would you mind praying this out?
Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the work of redemption in your son, Jesus Christ. And thank you because you are sovereign. And thank you because we have access to your word. Help us to go deeper and getting to know you. And help us to give you glory in everything we do. Amen.
Amen.